This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Ned, right now, speaking of food, there has been a very unusual motivational tactic that is being used by a company in the US to encourage people to go and get vaccinated against COVID-19. Mm. It doesn't matter which vaccine you get, just get one, provide proof, and Krispy Kreme will give you a free donut. Which, for me, is the biggest example that I've seen recently of a company treating adults like children and saying, look, we'll give you a nice little treat if you go and do this thing. It's literally like a lolly at the end of a doctor's appointment.
It really is.
You get the needle and we'll give you a donut. So exactly that's how this is going to work.
I don't like sweet things. I really don't. I don't like chocolate. Mm. But Krispy Kreme donuts are like one of the very few things that I actually do enjoy.
You don't mind it.
I love a Krispy Kreme donut. I mean, I also like being safe from COVID, so that's motive enough to want to go get the vaccination. But at the same time, if Krispy Kreme's for free on offer, I'm certainly not going to turn that down.
I think that this, for me, is going to obviously increase this at least a little bit. Yeah. There'll be people out there that will be motivated by this.
100%.
And if you say, oh, no, they won't, to that I'll say, remember when Boost Juice used to do the days where, like, if it was your birthday or your name was day, you could go get a free... People would do that en masse.
Of course.
If there's a free treat up for grabs, people love it. And that's why I think...
And I would, well, this is the thing. At the same time, I think 90% of the people are exactly like me who want to get vaccinated and then are just like, and there's for free donuts.
Yeah, there's a free donut as well.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. I would, if I was the government in the US, I'd take it a step further and offer to set up clinics, vaccination clinics in Krispy Kreme locations.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, let's just do one poo punch. This is fantastic.
Donut and a coffee.
You get to smell freshly cooked donuts and get vaccinated at the same time and then get a free donut.
It's heaven.
Let's replace a lot of things in the adult world with just treats. I think that's the way to go.
Do you have examples?
Well, the reason I say this and what I was building to before was that this stuff motivates people en masse and deals at, like, really cheap, like dollar cheeseburgers and stuff motivate people. I think we all still want to get treats like we're kids. I think, because if you think about this, right? You go to work every day, you earn money.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I have to go off to work. The alarm's gone off again. Oh, this is a pretty common interaction. But with that money, you can buy donuts.
Yes.
You can buy cheeseburgers.
Yes.
You can buy treats.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how the human brain works.
No.
We see it as money for bills, money for petrol, money for things
for miscellaneous.
Money for things we don't want to buy.
Yeah.
But if you could go to work every day knowing that at lunchtime there would be treats,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be an extra... It may not fix the alarm's gone off,
but it'll
be extra spring in the step. Yeah. A day that I know we're going to have a morning tea where there's an egg and bacon roll. That happens sometimes here at work.
We're like, smile on my dial at 4 in the morning.
Smile on my dial. We need a treat-based economy moving forward. That's what I think.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Right now, we're getting a little bit mysterious this morning with the mystery mention.
That's exactly right. Get on the phone 131060. We'll give you a word. You've got to hide it in a quick story. 20 seconds, then you tell the person who was not in the room the story. If you can hide the word you were given successfully, you'll win $25 to spend at PJ's in the city.
Yeah, that is where it goes.
Hell yeah.
You know, we've got the chance to win some great food there. They do a fantastic Monday trivia night. Could not recommend that highly enough. Ned, Nick's on the line from Queanbeyan. And Nick, how are you?
Good, boys, good.
Yeah, fantastic, Nick. All right, which one of us do you want to leave the room?
Yeah, go Josh.
Go Josh.
Okay. All right, then. All right. Brilliant. All right. God, now I've got to think of a word. All right. Hang on. Wait. Okay, Nick.
How you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very, very good.
Fantastic. All right. Let's make your word today, Nick. Mars.
Right.
Is that good? You can figure out a fake story to tell, including that word?
I reckon I can do it.
All right. Perfect, mate. I believe in you wholeheartedly. Come on in. In you come.
That was a lot of discussion.
Yeah, well, Nick and I...
It was a bit of discussion there.
I didn't expect Nick. Nick just asked me how I was going, and we had a bit of a chat. What's up?
That's very nice, Nick. I appreciate that.
Nick and Ned getting back together.
All right, then. All right. Here we go.
Nick, take away your story, my friend.
So, on the weekend, I was looking at properties to buy locally around Canberra, and, you know, they're going through the roof, the prices, so I decided to venture out and look at other areas. I looked at Mars, to be honest with you. That was quite cheap at the moment.
Mars.
Also looked at Sydney. Sydney's profits going up. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, nothing beats good old Australian Adelaide.
Thinking about buying property in Adelaide. Great story, by the way, Nick.
Good
job.
Story. I have a couple of thoughts here.
Sure, run
and
me through
I've
it.
Had a little bit of a thought process.
Nick, you can also chime in. Just don't reveal the answer, the word yet.
So obviously Mars jumps out. Like, super obviously, but it's also...
Oh, the word Mars,
yeah. But at the same time, I think that's a decoy, and okay. I'm going to say the word is actually property.
Nick, what's the word?
It's Mars.
Oh, damn it.
Mars.
Oh, damn it.
Of course it's Mars.
I've tried to overanalyze it a little too much.
I almost felt so bad for you, Nick, because I sort of forgot what your word is and then repeated the word and was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I said Mars. I was like, oh, yeah, Mars. Whoops. I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, my God. Well, Nick, congratulations. You've champion. Won yourself a voucher to spend at PJ's in the city. And I've really got to stop laterally thinking. That was just too big. I'm thinking too much
it's
outside
the
box.
It's the most obvious answer, yeah.
Damn it. All right,
well
then.
Done, Nick. Good job.
The Occam's razor theory has let me down today. Yeah. Should have just gone with it. Ah, dear me. The mystery mention. Thank you very much for PJs in the City for putting that voucher up. We'll give it another crack next week.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, a lot of people have different tests that they have like implemented themselves when they cook. So, I don't know. For me, it's like cook for, and I feel like this is a pretty unanimous one, but it's like cook your pasta for a minute less than it says because then it's like it's not super soft and like.
I see.
Yeah, and it's like a little bit al dente, so it's good.
Yeah.
But everyone has tips like that. I know my mom also has one with steak where it's like if you press on it and you depending on where you put your finger, your thumb connecting to a different finger is how... Like what the steak's been cooked at. So like medium rare, whatever.
I tend to microwave Gravox stuff for 10 seconds less than they suggest.
Right. So there you go. Everyone has their own different cooking experiments. Not a lot of them involve microwaves.
Yeah, mine exclusively involve microwaves.
Well, then there you go. But there is one that a lot of people do. As a matter of fact, 75% of adults in the UK do it.
Mm.
And that is the ever unfaithful, according to scientists, sniff test, where you just essentially get some food that you're not really sure about its use by date or it says that it's gone, but you're like, you know, this is all right.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm a classic for that for chicken and milk. So I'll sniff the chicken and just sort of go, like, you know, if you have some roast chicken, you put it in a Tupperware container or something, I sniff that.
Not just raw chicken.
That smells like chicken's supposed to. And same thing with milk. You go, it smells like milk's supposed to.
Apparently, and this is not advice, but apparently, look into it, do your own research. I'm just maybe your kicking off point.
Mm.
But apparently, like, when milk says the use-by date is, that's like so no one gets sick.
Yeah, right.
But you can push it a little further
than
that.
You push it a tad.
Apparently, the smell test is actually pretty good for milk. But then, like...
Chicken?
No, chicken, obviously
terribly
not.
Terrible idea.
No
terrible
way. Idea. And it's also funny because they're saying it's like, scientists are saying you need to stop doing this because like smelling stuff is a bad idea.
Mm.
And they're also saying that former Prime Minister, and the former is very important, maybe this is the reason, but former Prime Minister Theresa May once said that she scraped mold off jam on her toast to save costs. She's also the Prime Minister, so. But she apparently scraped mold off and they said that her saying that's something she did was awful for public health.
Yeah, right. Okay.
People just being like, oh, so mold's not that bad. And they're like, mold is the worst.
Terrible.
Other than cheese, it's the worst.
You know what the funniest thing about this is?
Yeah.
This is a bit of cooking advice at a time that's a day too late.
Yeah, you and I cooked yesterday.
Yeah, we went down to the Ronald McDonald House here in Canberra. They do a thing called Meals from the Heart where you can, if you're a business or whatever, you can cook dinner for the night. And it's absolutely fantastic. But we were led in the kitchen by Mando here from work.
Yeah.
And she... I basically need a Mando in the kitchen at all times because what I was doing with her last night was I was in charge of cooking the chicken we made enchiladas and I basically was just saying to her, is this done? And she'd give it a quick glance and go, yep.
Yeah.
Basically, I need someone to blame. I need someone to do the thinking for me in the kitchen. And if that's a service that maybe these scientists could offer, just a quick FaceTime.
Like,
is this done? Yeah. Take a little bit of a look.
I guess.
Yep, fine, no problems. Next call. That would be fantastic. Yeah. I'd pay a subscription fee for that.
That's why I stayed away from any of the meats yesterday. I was like, you know what? I can handle a capsicum because that is raw and that's all that needs to be.
I cooked a capsicum as well.
Well,
they
then I'd
be
very
soft.
Worried.
I once again asked Mando. I was like, are these done?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
Josh, I understand buying novelty items for your pet is hilarious in some instances. Those photos I see on Facebook all the time of people drawing their pets as like old kings and queens. That's
love
very funny.
That. Love
lieutenants
those,
and colonels and
love
stuff.
Love those photos.
They're very funny. There's a bunch of novelty items that I actually quite get around. One of my friends, actually, this may be a bit mean, but I guess not really. It's like kind of like the carrot and the donkey and the carrot where it was like a contraption where it was like a fishing rod that went from the dog's middle of the back with a tennis ball over the front. And so he'd always just chase it. He was like, why can't I get this ball?
It was probably exhausting after a while. You have to make sure to take that off.
Yeah. Like, this can't stay on. But they're good and they're often quite bad, unnecessary, not for anyone but the person. That's where I kind of draw the line, where it's like, this... You're forcing this on your dog, and it's for you.
I used to think that about dog costumes until I saw a friend of mine. She had a King Charles Cavalier, and it would literally start doing little zoomy circles
it
saw the costume box come out. And I said to her, "He loves it." I'm like, "No, he loves you giving him attention.
It's a lot of attention.
He recognizes that the costumes mean you're going to play with him for like an hour."
Yeah, and as a brother of a girl who has a sausage dog, I think 70% of owning a sausage dog is dressing it up like a sausage. So, look, no shame to pet costume lovers. I can kind of see the appeal for that as well. But I've seen something this morning that it's just stupid because no pet wants this. It's just for the people to be like, look, it's like my thing, but littler because he's smaller than me, huh?
Yeah.
What it is a miniature dog couch.
Oh, I've seen
these. So it's a couch. It's essentially, it's not even like the ones, remember the ones you'd sit on as a kid and watch TV on where they fold out?
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's literally like a small
I've seen
couch.
Them. Yeah. And they look really fancy.
They look like really high fashion leather.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at some of these.
Dog sofas.
No dog cares about this. The one time a dog would enjoy this is if it mistook it for its bed. But because they're like leather and fancy and stuff, they look like the most uncomfortable dog beds you could probably find.
They are.
It's literally just for people to be like, look, I have my couch and he has his little couch.
Yeah.
That's dumb. The dog wants to sit on your couch because that's where you are. The dog doesn't love couches. It loves you.
Can I just put this into perspective?
Yeah.
Because I have seen a little dog couch with a little dog that loves the little dog couch.
And I'm sure
he's been trained to love the little dog couch.
Of course he's been conditioned to. But in the beginning he hated it and they had to hide schmackos through it.
Here's what I want to put in your mind, right?
Sure.
If we had the option between a normal human-sized couch or like the Big Brother couch, remember that one that used to be like
huge.
16 people long and it was massive, but say also make that wide too, so it was like a big cloud.
Yep.
Which one would you rather, do you reckon?
I would rather the Big Brother one, but... with that caveat, I would also go, this is super unnecessary.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I want the dogs to imagine. I would think that
the point I was trying to help your point.
Yeah.
The point I was making is that that's what a human couch is to a dog.
Yeah.
It's like a giant cloud couch.
Yeah.
And we're asking them to go to a little normal couch.
Yeah.
If I could have the cloud couch,
yeah,
I would want that, which is what I think dogs look at our couches. They're like, why would I want a normal one that fits me when I get this ginormous cloud one?
Exactly right. If this is the case, you might as well make your entire house in just padded so your dog can just fall asleep anywhere. Actually, that's a great...
You know, that sounds like a dog's dream.
Yeah, that actually
does.
And
also, quite frankly, my dream.
It's just brilliant.
Anywhere I fall, I can sleep. That sounds like a great idea.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We nearly didn't get the show on air this morning because it was your job to come and get me from home today.
Yep.
You'd offered. It was very nice of you, but you were going to come and get me on the way to work, and I'm sitting outside with my lunch, with my backpack ready to go.
Yeah.
Like a good boy on the stool, ready for you to come past and just pick me up, and I'm waiting. I'm cold. I'm waiting. I'm colder.
Yeah.
I sent you another text. And then I get a call from you, and you're like, hey, mate.
Yeah, I forgot.
I completely forgot you existed.
Yeah. I've just, because that's it. I dropped you off last night, and I fully was like, well, and it's funny because I set an alarm earlier. So I was like, well, I'll probably have to go and get Josh this morning.
But I got up earlier too because I was like, I want to be ready on Ned's time. I've been a bit slack lately. So I was like, I'll get ready on Ned's time.
But no, I fully forgot. Yeah. Whoops. Oh, well.
And Eric, coming straight from the shower, straight to outside,
it's waiting, like
5 in the morning, is very cold.
Yeah.
Very, very cold. But this isn't so much a slight at you because I think I've done this exact thing to you as well. I forgot to come get you in.
Oh, at the end of the day, I came back and got you.
You were tremendously lovely of you
late.
To do. It was lovely of you to do it. And I'm not complaining. But the one thing I do want to quickly say to people who are probably asking themselves right now, why don't I have a car?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good question, and I'll answer that for you now. Okay. Here's the answer. Yesterday, I took my car down to get a service, right? Mm-hmm. So every single time I've taken my car down to get a service, anywhere in Canberra, and by the way, this is not a go at my mechanic, because I love my mechanic.
Okay.
They do a great job. They don't ever rip me off. They explain everything they're going to do before they charge me. I love my mechanic, but this is for every mechanic.
Yeah.
it's get it there as quickly as possible first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So like 9 a.m., as close to that as possible they want the car.
Yeah, so doors open, the car's there.
We've got to have the car there. And then you're lucky to potentially get it back by like 5,
yeah.
maybe 5:30. Just as they're closing, you might get your car back.
Yeah, COD.
Right? But this has happened a couple of times with different mechanics all over Australia. I'll get a call at like 2 in the afternoon going, yeah, 5's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
We've found a couple of things.
Yep.
We're going to need to keep it for until tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep it overnight.
Which is no stress. In mechanic world,
yeah.
because that's just a bit of extra time,
yep.
and it's better to do the job properly and send the car off safely, and I get all of that, and I totally agree with it. But I think mechanics don't realize how much weight that decision actually carries.
Yeah.
Because that has changed my entire next 16, 17 hours.
Yeah, because now I've got to drive you around.
100%. Or if I didn't have a friend like you, I'd now be looking at Ubers, taxis, all that sort of... Well, you're taking someone's actual main mode of getting everywhere away from them
just because
you need a bit of extra time.
I think that, and this is going to sound... this is going to be a mean question to ask people, but I think mechanics should be like, are you married?
Do you have
a significant other?
Do you have a way of getting around if we need to keep this for an extra 12 hours?
Is there a second car in your life? And if you say no, I'm not married, I'm not in a relationship, I don't have a Ned in my life, then they will be like, you know what? This guy's life's already sad enough, so top of the list. Get his done first, make sure he's... Because that's it. The one thing that... Because it really will exemplify how alone you are. It's like when you're like, I've got no one to pick me up, I've got no one to drop me off, I'm Ubering everywhere. Mm. That's not what you want.
I've got a less invasive and less depressing solution to this problem.
Perfect.
But it also puts the onus back on mechanics.
Okay.
You can't get the job done quick enough. There needs to be like a car park at the back of your mechanic shop where you have like 8 hire cars.
Yeah.
Where essentially you go, oh, look, we need to keep it overnight.
Yeah.
The great news is we've got a Toyota Corolla at the back. You can just have that now because you might need that for the next 12 hours.
Yeah.
And you just get it. You just get basically a courtesy car. There will be people out there saying, look, a lot of places actually do already do this.
Yeah.
But I need to buy a brand new Merc or something like that to get those kinds of privileges.
I think your insurance company handles that as well, not mechanics.
I think my mechanic's also probably sitting there listening right now going, the fact we can keep your piece of crap car running, that's the miracle in of itself. Don't get mad at us.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, Mars. It's the big goal for everybody at the moment in terms of space.
Yep.
The moon, it's a bit of a been there, done that type scenario.
We've already seen it
and
all.
And now people are ready to go to Mars. There are all sorts of documentaries, all sorts of people talking about it. Like the US are planning it. China's having a look at it. And I found out this morning, I didn't know this, the UAE is also having a look at it as well in terms of the next 100 years of potentially having a manned colony on Mars.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They've been talking about this since 2017, and they're very, very close to doing something they've also been talking about since 2017, and that is setting up the Mars Science City, which is going to be 176,000 square meters of desert that will be converted into basically a practice run for what it would be like to live on Mars.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, does that mean they'll make biodomes, all this sort of stuff?
Well, actually, I don't know because, if we're making biodomes, maybe you won't have to, but like, are they going to put people in like space suits?
I think the idea is you would maybe enter in a spacesuit and then take that off
once you're in the biodome.
Because that's the whole point. You don't want to be having to walk around in the spacesuit all the time if you're going to live on Mars.
That's true.
I'm all for experimentation. I'm very excited about this. And I'm very interested in reading about all these sorts of things. Producer Morgan was telling us there's been stuff like this tried already and it's all in testing phases all over the globe. I'm pumped. I just think this is like, for me, camping way too close to a town.
Okay.
It's like if anything goes super wrong, you can just drive to the shop. You know, like this is kind of a little bit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could ever really test what it's like to live on Mars because
we can get a good idea.
There's nothing you can do if something actually goes wrong.
Yeah, like, but I guess it's like that's the point of every test. It's like, what's the alternative? We just send people up to Mars. Well, I was like, oh, that didn't work.
I'll tell you what my alternative is.
Yeah.
Because the closest thing I think on Earth to being able to live on Mars in everything except temperature would be Antarctica.
Well, Mars is freezing.
In the dead of winter. Well, there you go. So in the dead of winter, when there are actual real problems in Antarctica, like someone gets super sick, if they don't have the things they need there, it is kind of like Mars.
Yeah.
It's like there's no, you're
stuck out there.
And people sign up knowing that, big waivers, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think we need to do this in Antarctica.
Yeah, right.
And just give it a try there and just see what happens.
What happens if we make this biodome, okay, in Antarctica, and people are out there and they're testing it, whatever, they get used to it, and then we send them to Mars, and then they're, like, thrown by how red it is.
Yeah.
They're like, I was expecting white.
Used all the white
sand. I was expecting white
ice
snow.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was expecting to be able to lick the ground and be hydrated. I licked the ground here, and now I don't have a tongue. Yeah. What's going on? I was not prepared for this whatsoever.
Plus, also, you run out of food. Maybe a penguin walks past. That's not going to happen on Mars.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Last night, I got a series of text messages that infuriated me from my sister, Kate.
Okay.
She often does this. She's forgotten the logins to one of the streaming services that we all sort of mutually pay for.
Yep.
Now, this is not one of the ones I pay for, but I'm like the keeper of the passwords.
Yeah.
So I still have to get annoyed by the information being exchanged.
Yep.
No problems. Fine. Whatever. It was for Amazon Prime Video, I believe. So I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm for whatever reason, the one that the message comes to authorize the login.
Yeah.
So that's more of the problem. She was like, I'm about to log into Amazon. Can you please allow it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no problems. That's fine. It comes to my phone number. 4 minutes later, I've forgotten the password.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here waiting, just ready to allow this thing. Nah. Now I need to give her the password.
Mm-hmm.
Thing still doesn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
Get a message 4 minutes again later. So now I'm sitting here. I've been sitting here for nearly 10 minutes waiting for this stuff to just be very easily done for me.
Yep.
And she's gone, is it Amazon Prime or Prime Video?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Kate's defense, which is not a sentence I'll say for the rest of this discussion, it is super confusing that Amazon have their expedited shipping service called Amazon Prime and then call their video streaming service Prime Video.
Prime Video.
It's very, very confusing.
Super confusing.
But you can find the answer out to that yourself.
Yes.
You don't need to ask me that question.
Yes.
And I told Kate last night that I am done being her tech support. And she got on the phone and we had a little discussion about it. She was a little bit angry about that. She went, I don't ever ask you questions. And I'm like, oh, yes, you do.
Let's go through them.
And this one was very easily Googleable. Now, she goes, you help mum and dad all the time. And I said, yes, I do. Because they're 35 years older than me.
They're old.
You're younger than me.
Yeah.
You grew up with this technology being second nature. Just like I did, there is no reason you need a tech support call. There is no reason you need to call me about this. If you didn't learn about this stuff, not my problem.
That's your fault. Yeah, exactly. I had the exact same opportunities that you did to learn about all of this, and I've learned about it, so I don't understand how something's been lost in translation.
I'll help Nana.
Yep.
I'll help Mum and Dad. With Mum and Dad, it's a different system. Because I also believe they've had enough time to get across it. So I helped them a couple of times.
Yeah.
If it continues to be the same question, I'd be like, you're not listening to me and you're not writing this down or you're not learning.
Mm-hmm.
So my tech support services are closed. For my mum, tech support's closed for Disney Plus.
Okay, right.
She's asked enough questions about that.
You can get it.
She knows how it works.
Yeah.
And I'm not explaining it again for a 15th time.
That's fair enough. Honestly.
But Dad's just converted from Android to iPhone. I'll answer questions about the iPhone for probably another 6 months. And then he's had enough information as well.
You should be able to. You need to take a little bit of initiative to learn yourself.
Nan, Grandma, and Pop can all ask me any question anytime.
Until the end of time,
because I'm just stoked that they're trying.
Yeah.
They're getting into it. Nan's very good with the social media. She loves it. So I'm happy to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister, anybody younger than me?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Because I should be able to call you to get tech support.
Exactly right. How are you not at the forefront?
I should be able to call my 15-year-old cousin now and go, hey, Molly, what's this TikTok all about?
Yeah.
Give me some information about that. So draw the line in the sand with family members.
Yeah.
Anybody younger than you, close tech support.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.